The rituals around certain types of foods are very prevalent all over the world. In fact, in some places, it isn't so much about the food in itself as it is about the ritual or ceremony around that particular food. Do you guys remember Shane Mitchell, our podcast guest from season 3? Shane talked about how people connect with each other around the dinner table. Her book, Far Afield, is a beautiful celebration of the ritual of food as a way to bring people and communities together. Ethiopian cuisine is one of my favorite cuisines in the world. Not only does it closely resemble Indian cuisine in the spices and the dishes due to the Indian influence in the African continent, but also the way Ethiopian food is enjoyed. I have very vivid memories of my grandmother mixing each course of our Sunday dinner into one big bowl and feeding all us kids from that same platter. We would sit in a semicircle, my grandmother in the middle, and then we would extend our palm and she would give each of us a bite of food to eat. She would go around the semicircle again and again, feeding us each course of the meal this way. It certainly took the meaning of family-style dining to a whole nother level. But you know what? That was our time to bond with each other, to make jokes, to tease my mom for her terrible cooking skills. Well, I guess, what can I say? Like mother, like daughter. And just enjoy each other's company. So very different from mealtime these days, where everyone is on a device, or worse yet, eating dinner, watching TV, with minimum interaction. I know I'm guilty of this too. And maybe that is why I love going to my local Ethiopian restaurant and having a meal, family style, ever so often. Ethiopian food is much like this in that everything is family style. Food is served on one big plate on base of light, fluffy, delicious injera bread, and entrees are piled on top of that bread base. Everyone shares food from this same big plate. I don't know about you, but for me, this brings so much intimacy, camaraderie, and closeness with your dining companions. Similar to Ethiopian food, Ethiopian coffee is also a very social affair. In fact, the coffee ceremony, or Jebena Buna, is almost ceremonial. So today on the Culturally Ours podcast, we are going to dig a little deeper into the Buna, or coffee ceremony, from Ethiopia.
Welcome to Culturally Ours, a show where we explore global cultural diversity in an intimate way through conversations and narratives around lifestyle, culture, food, art, and travel. Host Karthika Gupta talks to people from all over the world who have intimately experienced different cultures as a way to understand each other's worlds from the inside out, focusing on what we have in common.
In Ethiopia, coffee is more than a drink. It is a cultural celebration of an Ethiopian staple. In fact, Ethiopia's coffee ceremony is an integral part of the social and cultural life in the country. An invitation to attend a coffee ceremony is considered a mark of friendship or respect and is an excellent example of Ethiopian hospitality. Just like the smorgash board from Sweden and the asado culture from Argentina, the traditional ceremony around drinking Ethiopian coffee is actually quite unique. Coffee isn't just Ethiopia's national drink. It is had throughout the day, but is never quite consumed alone. Unlike most metropolitan cities around the world, like New York, London, or LA, where coffee to go is a norm these days, in Ethiopia, every meeting includes coffee, and coffee always requires company. Now, Ethiopia is not only the largest coffee producer in Africa, but is also the fifth largest producer in the world, and accounts for about 4.2% of the global coffee production. The coffee industry in Ethiopia contributes to about 10% of Ethiopia's GDP and provides livelihood for about 15 million Ethiopian farmers all over the country. But coffee isn't just part of the economics of Ethiopia. In spite of being one of the largest producers of coffee in Africa, Ethiopia only exports 50% of the coffee that is locally grown. And if you compare that to other coffee-growing countries like Kenya, which consumes about 3% of its coffee crop, and Colombia, which consumes about 14% of its coffee crop, it is very clear that coffee is extremely important to Ethiopians in Ethiopia. I always love a good story, and I'm quite sure you do as well. The history of Ethiopian coffee is also quite a story. Legend has it that coffee beans were discovered around 800 AD by a goat herder's sheep when they grazed on a red fruit of a coffee plant. When the goats began frolicking, the herder rushed a handful of the mysterious fruit to nearby monks, who promptly destroyed the seeds by tossing them in a fire as a way to get rid of something they did not know about and considered potentially sinful. However, the roasted seeds exhibited two miraculously redeeming qualities: a delectable aroma, and when crushed and steeped in hot water, a distinctive drink with an invigorating kick. Sounds very much like the coffee we all love today. The brew buzzed the monks' daily devotion, allowing them to continue their prayers long into the night. And slowly, as people migrated from region to region, country to country, coffee's popularity spread throughout Ethiopia and eventually throughout the world. Hey there! I hope you are enjoying this episode of Culturally Ours. Did you know there are so many wonderful resources, articles, and blog posts on the website to extend your Culturally Ours experience? We also have a library of free resources like a travel guide to some of the most culturally diverse places around the world, a global kitchen essentials cheat sheet, and so much more. Head on over to culturallyours.com/free to grab these, and be sure to check back often as we're constantly adding more resources just for you. Now, let's get back to the episode. Buna Tetu, which translates to come drink coffee, is a famous communal tradition in Ethiopia. Families will send children to knock on their neighbors' homes to invite them to come share some coffee. This bonding nature of Ethiopians is a key thread in the fabric of their society. Believe it or not, there is actually a process to drinking coffee in Ethiopia. The coffee brewing tradition has many special elements. The ceremony in itself involves processing raw, unwashed coffee beans into finished cups of brewed coffee. But before this event, the dining room undergoes some preparatory rites for the ritual. Firstly, the coffee cups are all arranged on a table along with some snacks. Freshly cut grass is displayed both on the floor and on the table. And sweet incense is burnt as a way to clarify the space, making it pure. Preparing a traditional cup of coffee or buna can take almost an hour, and drinking it can be much longer, especially during festivals and celebrations. Drinking coffee is a sensory experience in Ethiopia unlike any other. The process begins with washing and roasting the beans on an iron pan called the mitad. The person preparing the beans, who is typically the lady of the house, is dressed in traditional Ethiopian clothes called hibisha semi. Not quite the pajamas and soft woolen socks that most of us have on when we are preparing that first cup of coffee, is it? When the coffee beans are roasted, the mitad is taken to the guests so they can inhale and smell the roasting beans. This is a huge part of the Ethiopian coffee sensory experience. The coffee beans are then brewed in a traditional mortar before putting them in a jabena in which water has already been set to boil. Jabena, which is a traditional clay pot made specifically for preparing coffee, comes in various shapes and sizes and holds such essential value in every Ethiopian household. Jabenas have either one, two, or three spouts depending on the region where they are made and used. Once the coffee beans have been added to simmering water, it is then left to seep into the jabena. When the coffee foam discharges from the top hole of the jabena, it is removed from the heat and allowed for all the solid coffee particles to settle to the bottom of the pot. Once all the coffee cups are gathered on the rekebot, which is the coffee platter, coffee is then poured into the first cup. But this first cup is culturally not consumed. In fact, it is used to confirm that the murky liquid is free of all coffee grind. Once that is confirmed, the coffee drinking ceremony can finally begin and coffee is offered in with multiple seasoning options like sugar, salt, or roux. Often coffee will be accompanied by traditional Ethiopian snacks as well. Remember when I told you that the coffee drinking ceremony is almost ritualistic? A traditional cup of Ethiopian coffee is almost always served with aromatic incense, usually frankincense. The incense is ignited on a hot coal to produce smoke that is said to carry away all the bad spirits. Conversation starts flowing freely as sweet incense dissipates into the room. From a bowl, that first cup of coffee, to tona, the second cup, and finally, biraka, the last cup of coffee, the jabena is refilled until the settled coffee bits squeeze out their very last taste and guests are left extremely satisfied. It is considered impolite to leave the ceremony without consuming at least 3 cups of coffee. Ethiopians believe that your spirit transforms when you complete all 3 rounds. Of course, if you're like me, you probably will not stop at 3, and you are free to take as many cups as you wish afterwards. I had a chance to witness my first buna or coffee ceremony in one of my favorite Ethiopian restaurants here in Chicago. And while I didn't understand a word of the conversation that was happening at the table, it became quite clear that to most Ethiopians, either in or outside Ethiopia, coffee culture is a ritual. It is more than just drinking a cup of coffee for that caffeine buzz that we all crave. It is a way to slow down and engage with your friends and neighbors. It is an exploration of all your senses to really enjoy something so simple as drinking a cup of coffee. Thank you for joining us on this episode of Culturally Ours. Check out the show notes at culturallyours.com. If you've enjoyed this show, please be sure to hit subscribe, leave us a review, and share it with your family and friends.